Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on May 23rd. Coming up today, we'll hear from the new leader of Kent County Council following backlash over her stance on the Ukrainian flag. We've also caught up with the pop icon Sophie Ellis-Bextor. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A court has heard how a man harassed his neighbours in Westmorling for nearly 3 years after wrongly accusing them of vandalising his car. Lucy's got more details for the Kent Online podcast. Luce, what can you tell us about how this all started?
Well, back in December 2020, someone let down the tyres of Ian Warwick's vehicle. He claimed to have video footage of his neighbours Nicholas and Elizabeth Stansfield causing the criminal damage and reported them to police. When officers carried out their own investigation, they issued a caution to another person over the crime. But Mr Warwick wouldn't accept it and continued to blame his neighbours.
And this is when the campaign of harassment began.
That's right. The 64-year-old who now lives in Coach Road in Edgerton in Ashford confronted his neighbours in the street. He also sent them texts and messages over social media, and he posted derogatory comments about their supposed vandalism attack publicly on Facebook. Some of the contact was abusive, and some urged the couple to admit what they had done.
Now, what sort of impact did this have on the victims?
Well, Elizabeth Stansfield supplied a written impact statement for the court in which she said the harassment had caused her and her family a lot of stress, that she had trouble sleeping at night, and that she didn't know what Mr. Warwick was capable of. She said she installed CCTV at her home and she was nervous every time she had to answer her front door. The couple moved about 2 years ago, but the harassment continued online until October 2023. And then Mr. Warwick was charged.
And how was he finally sentenced?
Well, magistrates told Mr. Warwick this should be seen as a good opportunity to draw a line under the matter. He was placed on a 12-month community order, which will also see him complete 20 rehab sessions. He was fined £180, must pay a victim surcharge of £114, as well as £650 in court costs. The court also issued a 5-year restraining order, which means he can't contact the Stansfields or go near their home.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A burglar who left a mum and two children terrified when he broke into a home in Margate armed with a knife has been jailed. A court heard Philip Ebanks was the ringleader of a 4-man attack on the property in March last year. The 29-year-old from Upper Dane Street in the town has been locked up for 7.5 years. 3 men have been jailed for a total of more than 25 years after being tracked down by police investigating burglaries near Sandwich. One of the suspects was identified after being filmed filling up a car that was linked to one of the offences. The group from Bexhill, Brighton and New Haven was sentenced at Canterbury Crown Court. A Dover flat linked to drug use and antisocial behaviour has been boarded up by police. Officers successfully applied to the courts for the closure order on the property at Stembrook Court, which means it's now an offence for anyone to go inside. Neighbours had reported being threatened and suffering criminal damage to their own homes. Now, homeowners in part of Kent still fear they won't be able to get good broadband despite their previous provider being sold. Residents on Maskells Grange Estate in Paddockwood previously had to use only FibreNest. Last week it was confirmed that company had been bought by another for £100 million, subject to clearance. It means people will have access to 18 internet service providers instead. Some say that's still not enough.
Kent Online News.
Two Kent MPs have criticised Reform UK over their decision not to fly a Ukrainian or Pride flag over County Hall in Maidstone. Dover and Deal rep Mike Tapp has accused them of being delicate, easily offended snowflakes, while Ashford's Sojan Joseph says it's shameful. New KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Karen defended the decision during the first council meeting yesterday.
The Union Jack, the flag of Kent and the flag of St George, they are the identity that we all share, and it is that identity that we all need to focus on. There is nothing insensitive about wishing to focus the attention of this chamber on the people of Kent. After all, it is they who put us here, and it is they that we are all here to serve.
A care agency in Sittingbourne has been placed into special measures following an inspection. A report's found issues with safeguarding and consent at Share the Care Limited, which provides support to people living in their own homes. The Care Quality Commission say they're closely monitoring the company to make sure improvements are made. Now, a pilot program is being launched in Ashford today to crack down on underage vaping. Police will be working alongside trading standards, health bosses and community safety teams to stop young people getting hold of the devices in shops. It follows the successful trial of the local vape action scheme in Tunbridge Wells. James Widette is from KCC Trading Standards.
We could go to lots of different areas within the county and this work would be appreciated and well received. But from talking with our local partners, of an there was an appetite to deal with this locally, so that's why we've gone there.
So just explain for anyone who hasn't heard about the work that you're doing in Tunbridge Wells, how does this project work? What sort of things are you doing? Who are you engaging with?
Okay, so the LVA is about actually engaging with the industry, retailers, and also the local population as well, so the consumers out there on the high street. And what we do is we try and support businesses to ensure that the product they're supplying is legally correct and that they're fully aware of the age requirements for supplying of vape. And then our teams, so trading standards, police, local CSU teams, will go out and about and actually support those businesses to get it right. If we can get businesses compliant, that's much, much better than, having to then try and deal with enforcement activity, because retailers know they're selling the right product, consumers know it's the right product, and we're reducing the risk of supplies to children.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are very concerned, aren't they, about underage youngsters getting hold of these vapes, which often seem to be targeted at that sort of age group. How do you mitigate that? How do you get that message across to retailers? I mean, I was walking down a high street yesterday, loads of signs, deals on vapes and things like that. For a young person who's interested, they must look very appealing.
So one of the problems that we've found through the work that we've been doing with vapes in general is that a vape could be the first age-related product that some premises are actually selling. So with other things like alcohol and tobacco, people are aware that it's 18, and shops that do that historically will have those processes in place to make sure they're doing it correctly. Because vapes are across so many different types of retail outlets, some people it's the first age-related product. So our teams will go out and ensure that they're aware that they should be, looking for ID. They can employ a Challenge 25 system so that if somebody looks, that sort of early adult sort of age bracket, they can challenge at 25 and then the person would show ID. So these are some of the things that we're doing to try and strengthen that. And you picked up there on the fact that there's lots of offers on vapes at the moment. That could be because we're fast approaching the single-use vape ban on the 2nd of June. So we've actually been telling retailers that, they need to reduce their stock of the current vapes that are legal, and then on the 1st of June they're going to become illegal to supply. So that could be why you're seeing quite a lot of deals at the moment, as those retailers are trying to get compliant, clear out the stock that's, currently legal but won't be after the 1st of June, so they can then restock with the product that is required from.
So coming up, retailers in Ashford, what are they going to start to see more of? I mean, will they be engaging more with you? What are they going to see? And also, what are people in Ashford going to see? So consumers, people who visit these shops regularly, what difference are they going to notice?
So retailers will obviously start to see that kind of branding, the LVA out there. They will get that common messaging from all the partners who are joined up on this. There's also going to be the support from the industry to actually, if they want more information, that will be provided to them to, enable them to take those responsible decisions. It's really interesting because we've done a survey prior to the work going ahead in Ashford, and that was of adults in the Ashford area. And 92% of those surveyed believe it would be really good to have the LVA in Ashford. And also there was a really high proportion that was saying it'd be really good to see like stickers in windows where shops have, they're part of the scheme or they've passed things like Challenge 25 test purchases that we do. So it's that whole point about making it visible. So it's that reassurance to A, retailers, and also to consumers that the work is being done.
Kent Online News.
A Medway mum says she's been stranded in Turkey with no money after her 5-year-old son had to have emergency stomach surgery. Kay Bainbridge was on holiday with her family when Leighton woke up in severe pain and was vomiting. It turns out his intestines had twisted. He's now recovering and a GoFundMe page has been set up to help cover expenses. A resident's been fined after paying a waste collector to take rubbish, which ended up being dumped in a field near Gravesend. Household and building waste was discovered on on farmland in Harville last week. The homeowner in southeast London has been ordered to pay £600 because they failed to carry out checks on the company. The boss of a burger van in Folkestone insists he's cleaned up his act after receiving a zero-star food hygiene rating. Smashburger was shut down for a week after inspectors found contamination risks during a visit in March. The owner says he's made improvements and has applied for a new rating. A Mexican restaurant has put in a bid to play live music until 3 in the morning on some days and sell alcohol at all hours. Oceanic Eats ex Amala Buka on Cuxton Road in Strood wants the council to vary its premises licence. The site specialises in Nigerian food and also operates as a takeaway. Local councillors are concerned a change could lead to anti-social behaviour. A decision will be made next week.
Kent Online News.
A Kent mum whose son was diagnosed with leukaemia when he was just 2 is helping to shape the future of care for other young sufferers. Sebi, who's now 10, went through 3.5 years of treatment, including chemotherapy. His mum, Kate, who lives in Item near Sevenoaks, has joined up with the Children and Young People's Cancer Association. She and I sat down for a chat.
Once Sebi was coming towards the end of his treatment, I got involved in working with the CCLG, which is the Children's Cancer and Leukemia Group. They're one of the biggest charities in the country for helping children and young people who are diagnosed with cancer. And they really are the experts in terms of research. And they were looking for parents and patients to get involved to help them with their activities because they think it's really important, as do I, to have the experience of people that have actually been through cancer with young people to help guide their activities and help guide their research. So it's really been great to be able to be involved in helping and feeling like I'm sort of helping the research to help the next generation of families coming through this. Hopefully in the future, people won't have to go through it in the same way. Although the survival rate for the type of leukemia that Sebi had has got so much better over the last sort of few decades. It's amazing how it's got better over the last few decades. But it's still a really long, harsh treatment. And, you know, having 3 years of chemotherapy when you're at the age of 2 is just really brutal. The side effects are really hard. It has a huge effect on the whole family, including the siblings. And there are loads of other types of children's cancers that don't have as high a survival rate as leukemia. So there's loads more research that still needs to be done. And it's been really nice to be able to be involved in that and to be able to come at it from the perspective of a family that's gone through this and help sort of guide what's important.
Are there any areas in particular, as you said, you know, survival rates for the type of cancer that Sebi had have improved? And I think treatment options as well, I think in the last 40 years have really come on for leukemia. Are there any specific areas where you know, the feedback that you gave, what sort of areas are you hoping there'll be more research into?
Well, specifically from my experience, I really want to see more research into the side effects of leukemia. Partly in terms of helping to reduce the length of treatment that children have to go through. But even when they do finish treatment, they still often suffer from side effects, which can last, you know, for the rest of their lives. They can be at a higher chance of having more cancer and different types of cancer in future. They can suffer with sort of cognitive development issues that can affect their brains and their learning. They often have digestive issues, and a psychological impact of treatment is a huge problem for children going through all types of cancer. And I think there could be a lot more research in these areas.
There are plans for a crackdown on drivers using pedestrian-only streets in Herne Bay. Bosses are considering installing ANPR cameras in the town centre as they say rules are being blatantly ignored. Some people are reportedly opening barrier gates themselves to get their vehicle through. A public consultation's running until July the 1st.
Kent Online News.
Now, Sophie Ellis-Bextor has been on our sister station KMFM to tell us about her new album. Perimenopop is due to be released in September. She's been chatting to Andy on Weekend Breakfast.
The album comes out in September. It's called Perimenopop because I just recently turned 46 and my girlfriends and I, it's all conversations about this chapter of our lives, and it's, you know, there's lots of conversations about perimenopause, and a lot of it sounds quite gloomy, to be honest with you. And I don't feel gloomy, but I also feel inspired by my girlfriends, by other female artists, by artists that went before me, those that come up behind me. But my love affair with pop, it's as strong as ever. So I wanted an album title that kind of poked a bit of fun about the idea of being a pop star having a sort of time limit on it, But also to introduce conversation about getting older and doing what I do. I'm actually feeling bolder than ever, so I bring it on.
Your new single, Taste, tell us about that, because it's very upbeat and, dare I say it, flirtatious.
It's definitely flirtatious, yeah. It's all about, you know, the fact that when you're, if you fancy someone, the thing that's really going to give that a bit of longevity is generally when their taste, their choices in life align with yours, and you think, oh, they just make great choices, and you want to be around them because they, you know, the way they spend their day, how they feel about a movie, what songs they like to listen to, what you're going to eat, all that stuff aligns. So that was kind of the thought behind it. But I wrote it with John Shave, who's been involved with a lot of Charlie XCX's album Brat, and Emenike, who's a very talented singer-songwriter in his own right. So I just had a glorious couple of days writing that song and another one for the album as well. And as soon as we wrote Taste, I was like, this is a song I just want to play all the time. And it still makes me dance. And I think it just gives me all the right feelings, which selfishly, that's all I cared about with this record, really. I was like, it's got to start. I can't second guess what people want from me. I can just do what makes me happy.
You can hear the full interview, if you missed it, at kmfm.co.uk.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now, the Gillingham manager says he's excited to get started on preparations for next season. It's been a turbulent year for the Gills, who finished 17th in League Two. Gareth Ainsworth says there's a positive feeling at the club.
These boys have been through a hell of a season. They have, you know, I've said it during the season. They started the season with one journey that went halfway through the season, didn't work, and then there's a little bit of emotional baggage then for the boys. You know, they're carrying emotions that, am I in the team, am I not in the team, who's coming in, what's happened, is it my fault, is it not my fault? And then a new manager comes in, and then it's on an interim basis, and it's like, right, how long is this guy here, what style of play is this going to be? And then another manager comes in, which was me, and then it's again. So emotionally, the boys were shot this season. They really were. They went through the mill, and some of them are young boys, you know, they probably can cope with it a bit better, but then some are older with families and with careers and trying to forge this career. And it's not as though we're in the Premier League and there's three leagues below us, you know, we're in League Two, and it's like, right, I want to cut my teeth, I want to get higher. So fair play to the boys, you know, and they need this rest. They're going to need this downtime, and I want them to reset their minds. I want them to forget a lot of stuff that's gone on, and we'll go, right, here we are, this is us, first day of pre-season, this is what I believe in, this is how we are, this is our identity as Gillingham Football Club. And then secondly, the staff, you know, just the same, been through a lot. There's been one or two changes, it's an understatement really, and they've had to adapt, and sometimes it takes its toll on them as well. So I want everyone to just relax, switch off for a few weeks. People don't realise that we work then from July through to May, with very few days off, you know, and you know, I'm not getting the violins out here because we're lucky. We're, you know, we're in good paid jobs and we're football people, and it's brilliant to work at a football club, but it is a slog as well. So, you know, this 8 weeks, I want the boys and the staff to relax. And as we ramp up towards the end of this break, I'll be making sure, coming in on days like this, saying, can we put this in this direction? Can we make this in this direction? Oh, we've got a great facilities team who are working for me and trying to do things for me. We got, you know, even down to one of the cleaners, Heidi, I saw today, she was working her socks off trying to go, right, I want everything, because they all want to buy into this journey and the project. And you know, the sales team, the media teams, yourselves, it's brilliant that when we come to the first day of pre-season, I want everyone going, right, I know what direction this club's going in. I want to be part of it, and that's important to me. So, yeah, it's going to take some time, but this is the time to do it now, this break time, and I'm really, really pleased with everyone pitching in.
More football news now, and Kent's Alessia Russo has picked up an award for Footballer of the Year. She was among those recognised by the Football Writers Association at a ceremony last night. The 26-year-old from Maidstone says she's honoured to have won.
I'm part of an amazing team, both at Arsenal and at England, so I'm around amazing players every day, so this award could have gone to many of my teammates, but yeah, I feel really proud.
Cricket Now and Kent will be hoping to get their season back on track as they head to Derbyshire in the County Championship. They've gone four games without a win, including defeats to Middlesex, Glamorgan and Gloucestershire. Staying with cricket, and England continue their one-off test against Zimbabwe today. Kent Zach Crawley hit 124 yesterday before being trapped LBW. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.